Hallelujah. And please stand. Put your hands together, would you? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a thrill it is to be in the house of God, to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, to feel His holy presence, to know that the very God that created the heavens and the earth lives inside of us. Praise God, praise God. Today, we're going to be speaking on the subject giving honor and being loyal. I took three services to speak about the power of godly habits. And the last two I didn't get to, and I thought I'd just change the title. And even though this would be a part of that series, so I'm just simply saying that it won't be listed in the series, but the continuity from that flows into this. We talked about the godly habit of praying. Develop a habit, praying. And then the habit of attending church regularly, the habit of giving regularly, the habit of loving each other. By habit, we mean doing something frequently until it changes your behavior. Like an addiction. I remember the first cigarette I smoked and how sick it made me. Honestly, I got dizzy, I got sick. Some of my friends said, Grant said, are you, you look a little sick. And I'm all right. You know, I'm okay. And you start to get up and you wobble a little bit. And I've never smoked a cigarette. I'm just a young kid, you know, and I smoke another one, and I smoke another one, and I smoke another one, and I smoke another one. And after a while, if I don't get a cigarette, that's when I wobble. It becomes an addiction. And the thing about Christian living, while discipline is so important, that if you try to run your life totally on discipline, the real joy of serving God is not there. There has to be something inside of you that's crying out, I want to pray. I want to attend church. I want to be a giver. I want to have a forgiving heart. I want these things. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the first general epistle of Peter, the second chapter. And we want to read verse 17. Now you notice that the men is in italics because the King James Version of the Bible is written in the masculine gender. But the original just says honor all. Now, if you want to do an interesting study, look up the word all and run a real in-depth study on it and see what you come up with. I was really surprised when I did. The word all means all. That's what it means. So look around you. See all these people? There is a mandate in the scripture that says, honor all people. If there's anyone here in this assembly that you cannot honor, you're in violation of that mandate. You know, I think I said this last week. I spend about 90% of all my preaching on Christian principles, because this seems to be the area in which mankind has the biggest problem. And the trouble with humans is our humanity. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, we do not have a king. We do have a president. And some people are having a hard time honoring him. But that's what the Bible says. And we have a governor. And at this time, a lot of people are having problems honoring him. But nevertheless, that's what the Bible says. And some people build up bitterness. Hey, you may be seated, okay? Some people build up bitterness in their hearts. And I just want to throw this out before we go any further. Bitterness is that poisonous pill that you have that you think is going to kill your enemy, yet it's the pill that you end up swallowing. You think about it. You swallow the poisonous pill that you think is designed to destroy your enemy. And to carry this attitude or this spirit of unforgiveness is like handcuffing yourself to the person that you despise, and every place you go, you have to take that person with you. Honor all men. The old English spelling, H-O-N-O-U-R, is found in the King James Version. Now, if we have a mandate to honor all people, then we must do our best to develop the habit of honoring all men. And how do you develop that habit? By practicing it until it becomes a part of your nature. Now, this seems like a simple subject, doesn't it? But you know what? This is pretty heavy stuff, really. You think about it. When I first became pastor of Calvary Gospel Church, I found out there were some people in the church that wouldn't shake hands with others. Not trying to tell on anyone. And I addressed the issue by talking to the individuals. I said, now what I'm going to do on Sunday morning, I'm going to stand by the door, and when that person comes, I'm going to ask the person if they'll just stand there for a while, and I'll get back with them, and I'm going to wait until you come, and I'm going to personally oversee that handshake. Because you're gonna shake hands with them if you expect to be a member of Calvary Gospel Church. I spent 13 weeks teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And some of you remember this. We actually got down on our knees and prayed for people that had left our assembly and had caused all kinds of problems because we are instructed by Jesus to pray for those who despitefully use us. And some very bad things were being said concerning us. Now, you have to understand that this was just as hard for me as it was for the people of our congregation. It was very difficult for me. I didn't want to do it. I had heard some bad things. I believed it. But on the other hand, I knew it was not right according to Scripture. Pray for those that despitefully use. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Oh, my Jesus. This is when I discovered that God expects us to treat our enemies with more respect and more honor than most Christians would treat their brothers and sisters. Isn't that something? Now, you may not believe that, but all you have to do is just kind of check your own behavior, see what happens when you run across the names of individuals that you would prefer not to even talk about. Another word that comes to mind when we talk about honoring and being loyal is respect. Nowadays, you know, when I was a child, if you were a gentleman, you went into any public building, first thing you did is you took your hat off in respect for whatever. When our general conference was in San Antonio, my wife and I went to the Alamo. There were a group of younger men behind us. We were waiting for a tour guide, and the security man came over and said, "Sirs, we'd like for you to remove your hats." Well, a couple of them said, "We're not going to do it." He said, "That's okay." He said, "You'll just have to remain outside until I call you in." I think what he was going to say, stay outside then. I said, "Why do I need to remove my hat?" He said, "In respect of all the people who lost their lives here at the Alamo." And I remember as a child, if you went to a cemetery, you never walk on a grave. Oh, no, you don't walk on a grave. You show respect for the dead. Just yesterday, Sister Grant went into the Boston store to do some shopping while I remained in the car to take a nap. Now, I'd gladly go with her, but I've been having ankle problems big time. So I could not walk. And besides, I didn't need the nap. So she came back out and she told me, she said, "You know, there was a clerk that waited on me and she seemed real nervous." And she said, I'm sorry that I'm nervous. She said, "You saw those teenagers over there?" She said, "You know what they did? They went by a rack of real nice clothes, and they spit on the rack, just spit on them." That's our generation. No honor, no respect. And I would say in the home that they don't respect or honor their parents. Now, she was wondering if something could be done about that. I wouldn't be the person to say, but I would think the security at Easttown would probably take action against somebody for that. I don't know. They should be forced to buy all the clothes that they spit on. Now, the attitude of an individual, in order to accomplish what I am teaching today, the attitude must be correct. Christians, you know, are to be humble and submissive. You believe that? Say humble. Humble. Say submissive. Are you humble? Are you submissive? Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 3, tells us that we should not think of ourselves more highly than what we ought to think of ourselves. Ephesians 2, verse 3, and we'll turn there. If you will just turn to that passage of Scripture, I would appreciate it. Ephesians 2, among whom also we all had our conversation or behavior in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, I think I got the wrong scripture there. I don't know why I've been. Let me just turn there. Lately, I've just put down a lot of wrong scriptures. All right. So, now I can't even find it, so that's Philippians 2:3. There we go. Philippians 2:3. Well, I wasn't just a few scriptures off, I was several books off. Now, you saw that little clip they put up there, and it said that we were not perfect. So don't be expecting that of me. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. And then the Bible also tells us that let the same mind, I think that's verse 5, is it? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, if you do not have Jesus Christ living in your life and you're not practicing the fruit of the Spirit, you will not have the mind of Christ. Paul says to the church at Galatia, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. The absolute only way that you can fulfill the laws of the Scripture concerning your behavior is to think like God thinks. That's the only way you can do it. Because if you begin to think like human beings think, carnally thinking, then you can't do it. And, you know, here's what happens. Adults sometimes think just like children. They just exhibit a little bit different behavior than children. Children are ruthless. They say what they think. Seriously, they're just ruthless. And they find someone in their class that maybe has a little bit of a personality quirk, and they'll start making fun of that person. And, you know, there's all kinds of debate going on about bullying. You know, the only way that can be corrected, I think, is to work on the inside of a person. Because people you know, it's like, you know, we're not supposed to kill each other, but we do it all the time. And the thing about it is, can you stop bullying by saying that you shouldn't do it? That's like saying I'm going to stop killing people by saying you don't kill. What has happened is then people make sure that nobody's looking when they kill. So if there's nobody looking, then I'll just go right ahead and exhibit my behavior. And the way the law of the land is written, Paul says concerning the law, he's talking about the law of God, he says the law has no power to stop a person from doing wrong. In other words, we have a sign on that side of the door over there that said no food and drink beyond this point. It's talking about coming in here. We also have a sign going out of the kitchen that said no food and drink beyond this point. That's when you go in the lobby. Does that stop people from taking food and drink in there? No. In other words, the sign doesn't have the power to reach out and grab you, that statement. There's a sign just past the church here that says 35 miles an hour. Does that stop people from going 35 miles an hour? No. Now, this is what he was saying. What really stops people is not the law, but it's the Spirit of Christ that dwells in you. In other words, something inside of you says, it's not right to go 55 beyond this point. It's not right to take food and drink beyond this point. It's not right. That's what stops a person. It's not the law itself. And so, children who are ruthless, and most of them are, they'll find something. If someone's tall and slim, they're skinny as a rail. If someone's short and plump, they're fat. They make fun of their weight. They make fun of their physical appearance. They even know by their own mindset who's beautiful and who's ugly. They don't mind saying. Some children grow up being told that they were ugly. There's one thing that I don't like, and I don't like people making reference to other people's weight. Whether they be slim or a little portly. And it's not because I'm a little bit on the portly side. Neither do I like people to say, oh, she's so beautiful, or she's so ugly, or he's so handsome, but oh, he's ugly. Now, the reason why, see, we're all made by Jesus Christ. We're all made by God. And if you're going to respect people, and you know what we do? We grow up as children thinking that way, and then when we get to be adults, we continue to think that way. We just exhibit a little bit different behavior. A little different behavior. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 through 13. The Bible says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort yourself together. In other words, give each other comfort. Do you feel comfortable around everybody in this church? Does everybody feel comfortable around you? So whether you feel comfortable around everyone or you want people to feel comfortable, you've got to work on this. And how do you make people feel comfortable around you? By being friendly, by being kind, by pulling them into the conversation. That's how you do that. Edify, that's build up one another. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourself. Now, I'm just laying a foundation here about concerning giving honor and being loyal. So we are to edify our leaders. The Bible also tells us in 1 Timothy 5:17, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, it is very difficult for some people who are in leadership to teach people to honor them and to be loyal to them. Because it sounds like a selfish thing to do on the surface. But the truth of the matter is, just like in your home, as a parent, if you don't teach your children to honor you and you don't teach them to be loyal to family members, pray tell me who's going to do it. And here at Calvary Gospel Church, if I don't teach people to honor me and be loyal to me, pray tell me who's going to do it. In other words, I have a mandate from God to teach you to do that. But I not only teach you to honor me and to be loyal to me, but to honor each other and be loyal to each other. Hey, is this something I'm getting this out of the Bible? Now, you'd never think, you know, that stuff like this was in the Bible, would you? Especially the way some people tend to live. So, we cannot be independent in our thinking. I've had people to brag to me, saying, well, I'm kind of independent in my thinking. Oh, so you're going to brag about being devilish, huh? I purposely use that word so you would think next time you say, well, I'm independent in my thinking. Well, la-di-da-da. So what you're going to do is just go ahead and be wrong, huh? Paul says in the book of Philippians, one of the signs of being an enemy of the cross is that you glory in your shame, or you brag about the things that you do that's wrong. Isn't that something? Well, you got to be careful, you know. Oh, you know, I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time in the New Testament. I've carefully combed through the pages of the New Testament because I want someday to hear my master say, well done. You also have to have a servant's heart. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, that's James and John, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. He said unto her, what wilt thou? And she said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. Now, the thing about it is, Jesus was saying that you know, there's more to this than what meets the eye. Sometimes when we are baptized with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we think, well, it's that electrifying spirit that just makes us spin like a top at the altar and dance and clap and shout. But let me tell you something. When you take on Jesus Christ, you take on not just the part that you like, but you take on the part you don't like. In other words, when you're baptized with him, you get it all. It's like when you know, the reason why ministers say when they perform a marriage, for better or worse, because there might be something about this little sweetheart, this darling, this beautiful, beautiful bride that you don't know about. And when you take her in your home, my friend, you're going to find out what she's like. But you have already stated that you are willing to stick it out, because I say I take on the part I like and I take on the part I don't like. And what Jesus was saying, when you're baptized with my baptism, you take on the part of God that you like and you take on the part that you don't like, because you get the whole package when you get me. He said unto them, I shall drink indeed of my cup, and I shall be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on the right hand and on the left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them of whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But now notice what he says. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant or your slave. The Greek word there for servant in verse 27 is slave. In verse 26, minister is servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Yesterday, we had Touch Twice Clinic here. And when I walked in, I didn't have the sticker saying Pastor Grant. So I met a lot of people that were advocates and people that were at tables that didn't know who I was. And I was really pleasantly surprised that when I asked questions, how accommodating that people were. And even at booths that I had really no interest in, and I think they knew that I didn't, they would say, is there some particular something you're looking for? Maybe we can help you find this. Do you know your way around the building? That's a good feeling. I mean, it's a real good feeling, and you know that's just the way it ought to be. So you must have a servant's heart, and that's what Jesus was teaching. This business of, well, I've got my license now, and everybody's supposed to look up to me. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago that I would not allow disrespect or dishonor to me or to my wife or any pastor, but I also stick to my guns when you're trying to dishonor somebody that doesn't hold a position, because that person is just as important as me or anybody else. They may have a different role here at Calvary Gospel Church, but they're just as important as, if you've been at this church 1 week, you're just as important as people who've been here all their life. So you must have a servant's heart. And another thing that you got to do, you need to develop a habit of just being positive about everything. Philippians 2:14, let's go there. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, I'm going to guess that some of you who cannot live one day without belly aching about something, that doesn't sound like a good public term, but I'm putting this away so that when you get out and you start belly aching, you'll remember that I properly named it, okay? That you probably belly ached when you were a kid. And you murmured about everything when you were a kid. And nobody stopped you from murmuring about things. And it's become such a habit to you that you feel that if you can't properly express dissatisfaction, that you have become somewhat of a derelict. Oh, me. Everybody say, oh, me. Oh, me. Oh, me. Let's say it again. Oh, me. So all of this, it does start in the home, Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. And that is showing great respect or great regard. Now, I want to link this to something. The word awe, A-W-E, means to show respect. Or you combine it with fear and wonder. And in the Greek, the word honor is actually taking on that particular connotation. Awe. Honor. Now, why should we be so honorable to our parents? Because Peggy is the mother that God chose for Matthew. And if you think you're so special, you think what that makes her. How come kids who think they're so special think their parents are nothing? They don't know anything. They're just dumb like all other mothers. Well, pray tell me, did you get so special without her help? Did you get so special? Did God just make you special and independent and self-reliant and give you all this self-esteem without her help? And then you turn around and here's Peggy and here's Sister Hudson. And you look at Sister Hudson and you honor her. Ah, she's made in the image and the likeness of God. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, loyalty, well, the word is not found in the Bible. Loyalty is taught. Loyalty means steadfast in one's allegiance to a person or to a country. Without honor, you won't have loyalty. Loyalty is just impossible without honor. When you honor, you will be loyal because it just becomes natural to you. And loyalty just simply means that you have this allegiance to this individual, and that you will not in any way corrupt or violate or transgress this particular bond that you have with this person. Loyalty is proven best in adversity. It takes both honor and loyalty to have teamwork. And all of this starts in our everyday life and must be practiced in our everyday life. I said starts in our everyday life and must be practiced. Now, you can hear it at church, but when you leave here and you go someplace, let's say you go to a restaurant, and the server comes up to you, and the server's, I'm not having a good day, and the server begins to unload on you about maybe the manager of the store. Now, you could say, well, you know, I don't know the manager of the store, but I will observe and see if he treats me the same way he treats you. Now, you'd really help them, wouldn't you? Make them feel good, wouldn't you? But do you really help them? You might say, well, you know, I don't know the manager of the store, and I cannot comment on this, but I would say that if you're feeling this way with the manager, you need to go and see if you can make an appointment to talk with him, get this matter, this difference solved. I know when people bring complaints to me about other people, first thing I ask them, have you shared this with the person that you're complaining about? Now, occasionally people say, yes, I have. But in most cases, it's almost like, I never thought of it. And then I've gone back a few days later and say, did you go to that person? Not yet. Week passes or 2 weeks pass. Did you go to this person? No. I said, do you intend to go? No. Why not? I just decided I'd drop it. In other words, you like to complain, but you don't like to settle matters. You know what? I'm going to have to stop here, and I'm not finished with all of this, but, you know, we need to serve each other. We need to love each other. We need to make every person, listen to this. Here's a good place to start if you want to honor a person and be loyal to them. Make every person look as good as you possibly can to their fellow man. So when I'm talking about James Hawk, I said make James Hawk look as good to you as I possibly can. You may say, but what about all these faults that he has? What about them? That's what we're saying. You saw the clip. We're not perfect. Are you perfect? Who's perfect in the building? Raise your hand. Would you want all of your faults broadcast to somebody else? No. What do? Man, they're recalling Toyotas. Look at Toyota ads. Do they say problems with accelerator? Problems with brakes? It's not what they say. You go in to sell this carpet. Brother Leonardson's involved in this. Go in to sell this carpet. Oh, but I tell you what. They don't make carpet like you used to. Don't expect any of this carpet to last very long. Just junk nowadays. Is that the way you look at it? No. When the person, you don't, it's never right to say things that are wrong. So you don't want to lie about things. But you know, even a broken clock is correct twice a day. So we honor all men, our elders, our spiritual leaders, our contemporaries. We honor all people. Honor the king. Honor all races. Honor all cultures. Honor everybody. Someday we're all going to be in heaven. And it won't make any difference about all these things anyway. So, if when you get to heaven, if the Lord Jesus Christ is able to forgive you while you're on earth of all of your deficiencies, and you make it in, you know, there's a passage in the book of Hebrews that encourages me every time I read it. It talks about the witnesses in heaven, talks about the church that's in heaven, talks about the prophets, talks about Jesus Christ. And then it says the spirits of just men made perfect. That simply means when he changes us, every weakness we have and every fault that we have is made perfect. But on this side of immortality is mortality. And we wear this robe of flesh, and it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. How many times have you said, Lord, I won't do this again, and you did it again? Your brother or sister may not be perfect, but let me tell you something. It's the best that you have on this planet. Stand with me, would you? Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Our praise singers are coming. We're going to get right into this altar call. I'm going to switch gears here. If you came today and you have a need of a healing, I want you to come and stand over here to my left. Just come on down right now. Jesus Christ loves you, and Jesus wants to heal you. Brother O'Neill, come on down. Praise God. Brother Demas, come over here. Brother Bryce, come over here. We're going to start praying for people that are sick. If you have needs that you've been praying about, regardless of what it is, I want you to just come and stand right here in front of the pulpit. Come on down right now. If you need to be refilled with the Holy Ghost, or you need the Holy Spirit, I want you to come and stand right here. Come on and stand right over here. On your right, come on down. Come on down right now. Our praise singers, go ahead and start singing.